Up next, we're going to find out what's happening at the U.S. Open and more as we check in with our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ in Boston, who is in Brookline, has just finished helping Phil Mickelson pack his bags. Right, Michael?
Yeah, you know, actually, no, I didn't get to see him because I didn't know he had the skill. He just disappeared as soon as the round ended. So it's a new skill he's picked up in his bag. But yeah, not a great showing for Phil here. But I think if you've seen him golf over the past year or two, that was to be expected.
Yeah, so this is the poster boy for the Saudi League, and he ended up, 11 over par for the first two rounds?
Yeah, 8 over yesterday really did him in. So, again, he hasn't really played much in 4 months, and like I said beforehand, it's not like he was exactly lighting up the world. If I were him at that press conference the other day and I was getting covered by those questions, I would say, listen, have you seen me golf lately? Like, I have to take $200 million if someone's offering to pay that to me to golf. So, Just a huge story coming in, and then it just kind of faded with a whimper there. So I don't know the next time we'll be seeing Phil around these parts, but the fans seem to like him. I don't think they had many ethical quandaries or dilemmas about the whole live money situation, at least from what you could tell from the interactions on the course.
Now, the other big name from the live tour, Dustin Johnson, seems to be doing okay.
Yep, and that kind of is in line with the way that guy operates, the way that guy goes around. It doesn't seem like he ever, people, you know, the old cliche, you never get too high, never get too low. I don't think he moves off 5 out of 10 at any moment of his life. He just seems so steady along the line. So I can see how he wouldn't be too affected by the stress or attention or anything that might come with that decision.
What are the conditions like at the country club today?
Well, I would say this. If I had brought my bag today and let me out there, I think I could break 200. Maybe. It's a hell of a course. It's long. If you miss at all, you're in trouble. We've seen guys, you know, try to chip from the fair, from the side of the green, and just go right under the ball and have it go nowhere. So it's a heck of a course. The greens are flying. It's living up. I mean, the scores are a little bit better than you maybe would hope for if you're rooting for carnage. You have the leaders at 5 under right now, and a fella named Lingmerth and Colin Morikawa. But, you know, there's been not crazy win. There's been decent wins. So it could get more difficult, or it could get a little bit easier as the weekend goes up. But scores are there to be had. It's just, man, you really have to be almost perfect just to play even par here.
You mentioned Morikawa and Lingmerth, the Swedish golfer. John Rahm, the last I saw, was doing well at 3 under. And I think Scottie Scheffler was at around 3 under.
Yeah, Scheffler had a 3 under round. He came in at even. I saw him earlier. He's very good at golf. I can't confirm. I was just standing before we talked, right behind the third green, and John Rahm was about 5 feet in front of me. It would have been a very dangerous spot, again, if one of us was golfing. But they don't miss. So it's cool. I mean, I don't know how often you or anyone listening gets out to the golf tournaments, but it's like you have a front row seat to see the biggest stars in the world in the sport. So it's always, I'm like a little kid in a candy shop here.
Yeah, you know, I've only been to, I think, maybe 2 PGA tour events before, but it's amazing. TV, as well as they cover it, it just doesn't do justice to what it's like when you see not just how far guys can hit it, but the control they have.
Yeah, and when they miss, it's because they're aiming for the small. I mean, they could hit the middle of the green every time if they wanted. It's just a matter of what they're trying to do and all that. But yeah, you can't really follow the tournament when you're walking the course, but you know, every now and then, just to see the players up close. I always say there's like, with some sports figures, it's like the wax figure effect. Like the first time you saw Derek Jeter in person, it was like seeing someone right out of the wax museum come to life. So seeing some of these guys up close is like that. And even without Tiger, I think the sport has plenty of stars to have that effect on we who are easily entertained.
Well, and what's great for New England sports fans, what a weekend with the Celtics last night, the Red Sox and the U.S. Open. It's, the center of the sports universe right now.
It was. I think Celtics fans might have appreciated it extending a little bit longer than it did. I feel bad every time I watch games like that, knowing that people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to be there to basically get 5 good minutes of action, and then just a complete dud from the home. From the home team. So disappointment there. I thought that the Warriors, though, over the course of the last 3 games, really showed that they were in a different class than the Boston Celtics are currently. So. I think if the Celtics got a luckier chance to play a team that wasn't so championship-built, driven, and experienced, they might have been in that position to win. But the Warriors, man, they are the team. And I don't think there's any shame in losing to a team like that.
No, and I know there are people that don't like Steph Curry. I don't get it. I think he's fantastic. I love watching Curry, even if he's on the other team. He's so good. Last night, the outside shots weren't falling early on. He was able to take it to the hoop, and then end of the night, 34-7-7. He's just one of the best in the game, and now he's got that Bill Russell trophy to go along with it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you saw last night. Remember earlier in the series, Al Horford kept sagging off the three-point line, and he would just keep draining threes in his face. Last night, Al would step out on him and play decent defense. It's not like he was getting cooked, but Steph would just drive around him and, you know, reach around with that running lay-in around his head that he does. And more often than not, it works, so he's impossible to defend. You could double him, but then once Klay Thompson started hitting shots in the series, I think that's when the Celtics really got cooked, because You can if it's just Steph, you can really focus your energy there. But when if Klay is shooting decently, that you run into what the Celtics did. So absolutely, I like Steph Curry. I think he's good for the game. It's funny, most of us here in Boston spent 10, 12 years hating LeBron with all of our heart and might. So to have a superstar win 4 championships, outside of last night, where if you're a Celtics fan, you don't appreciate the ring celebration maybe in the middle of the game, but you'll get over that. He is that good, and he is. I don't think he's made many enemies along the way, so it's been fun to watch. And like I said, that's why when you lose a championship, if you lost to Luka in Dallas, you could be mad about it. But I don't know how you can be too mad about losing to those guys. That coach, those guys know how to win.
I thought Jaylen Brown was maybe the Celtics' most consistent player in the finals. Obviously, Jason Tatum with a rough night last night. Was he tired? Was he playing through injury? Was he putting too much pressure on himself?
It's a good question. I will be interested if anything comes of that shoulder injury. We obviously know it looked like it wasn't a big deal when it happened, and whenever he flexed it, we were like, all right, man, we get it. But maybe it was affecting him to some degree. I actually think that, they didn't close out Milwaukee. They lost Game 5. They had to go win 6 and 7. They couldn't close out Miami. They had to go 7 games. Mm. Go on the road. Missed out on the rest before the finals. I think they needed it, and I think it caught up to them, because you have Ime Udoka, talking about fatigue at the end of these games. That shouldn't be a conversation, because the Warriors played just as much as you did, but they had a week off before the finals. So, to me, not winning those second and third round series as quickly as they could have, I think it eventually caught up to them. And Tatum, being the minutes leader, being the star, I think he wore it the most out of all of them.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Who's your favorite to be the new coach of the Bruins?
Oh, they're going to get one? They don't seem in any rush to get one. I don't know. I mean, you hear the list. Jay Leach seems to be someone they like, but it's always one of those things. Like, when they hired Bruce Cassidy, it was kind of like, well, who cares who's Bruce Cassidy? What does his AHL record really matter? So I won't pretend to know. I personally, I would have liked someone like Tortorella, just from a media perspective, because he fills up the notebook, so to speak, kind of a dated term, but you get what I mean. But no. I don't know, because I don't know what the Bruins are. I don't know what their future is. I don't know who their centers are. I don't know their decor. And I don't think they're going to be very good for a little while. I don't see the way out of it with Don Sweeney. He's not a builder. He's an adder. He's a guy, if I sent you to buy me a new car and you walked out having paid the sticker price, anyone can do that. And I think that's what Don Sweeney has done. So I think you need someone with more of a developmental build. So until the GM is replaced, I don't see much mattering in terms of what they do.
Will they name a head coach before the Patriots name an offensive coordinator?
Yes, because we're not getting it'll be week 9. We'll be like, Bill, who called the plays? And he'll be like, I don't know. And that's gonna be about all we get out of that one. So they might fire their coach before we find out the Patriots offensive coordinator.
Well, listen, Michael, we appreciate you making time for us while you're in the middle of covering the Open. Do you have the urge, when you're there, to just yell something out, like go old school and be like, you the man?
No, as a matter of fact, no. That always drives me nuts. It's gone more ridiculous with the mashed potato and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
In years, so haven't heard much of it lately, but I think the weekend crowds, seeing some of the clientele, it's like being in the bleachers at Fenway at some point. So I can see some things being said this weekend when the beverages are flowing and the intensity is cranking up. I wouldn't be surprised.
Bring in some of those Celtics fans from the Garden. That'll liven it up.
Absolutely. Get some NBC censors to have to work overtime.
It's fantastic. Michael, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the rest of the tournament, and we'll check in with you again soon.
All right. Nice talking to you. See ya.
Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, WBZ, live from the U.S. Open in Brookline, Massachusetts. Round two taking place this afternoon.